This year's craft fair raffle ticket sales are well in progress. And we wanted you to know that the raffle ticket sales have brought in over $3,000 for the coming craft fair. We have only a few weeks left to reach our goal in the raffle proceeds. Last year, the raffle ticket sales brought in over $17,000 alone for our annual Christmas craft fair. And I've often said in the past that the craft fair is perhaps the greatest fundraiser we have for our school. And so I please ask you to take part in raising money for the raffle tickets, buying them yourselves, selling them, offering them for sale to friends and work associates, and doing everything reasonably possible here to assist us in making the craft fair another success as it was last year. Now, tomorrow is All Souls Day, and the mass times are 6:30 a.m. in the mornings, 11:15 a.m., and please note, those masses will be offered at the school. There will be an 8 p.m. mass here offered at the chapel tomorrow evening. And for the gaining of the indulgences, there are two cards hanging in the back of the chapel which give instructions and the kinds of indulgences that can be gained for the holy souls in purgatory. Now, today is the first Sunday of the month as well. It is also Vocation Sunday. And I do ask that you please offer your mass and your Holy Communion, that God would bless us with vocations at our seminary and our convent. I can tell you that this past year, God has blessed us with three vocations at Immaculate Heart Seminary and three new vocations at St. Joseph's Novitiate in Round Top. There will be a day of recollection for the men of the parish on Saturday, December 5th, here at the chapel. If you are intending to attend the Day of Recollection, men, please reserve your place. There is limited place. You can reserve your place at the Vexilla Regis bookstore or call the church office. This Friday is the first Friday of the month, and I do ask that you please be generous with your time and come and spend an hour of it with our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. There is a sign-up sheet in the vestibule of the chapel. Now, the epistle appointed to be read for the Feast of All Saints is taken from the book of the Apocalypse, chapter 7. In those days, behold, I, John, saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the sign of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, till we sign the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them that were signed, 144,000 were signed of every tribe of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Reuben 12,000 signed, of the tribe of Gad 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Aser, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 signed. After this, I saw a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and in the sight of the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God who sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and the ancients and the four living creatures, and they fell down before the throne upon their faces and adored God, saying, Amen, benediction and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving, honor and power and strength to our God forever and ever. Amen. In the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 5. At that time, Jesus, seeing the multitudes, went up into a mountain, and when he was sat down, his disciples came unto him. And opening his mouth, he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the land. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after justice, for they shall have their fill. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they that suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they shall revile you and persecute you and speak all that is evil against you untruly. For my sake, be glad and rejoice, for your reward is very great in heaven. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. After this, I saw a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and in the sight of the Lamb. Words taken from today's epistle, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, this morning I would like to share with you a story that occurred in the lifetime of the great St. Francis de Sales. St. Francis de Sales was born in the year 1567. In the year 1593, he was ordained to the priesthood. He spent much of his priesthood laboring in parts of Switzerland. And at his time, however, Switzerland, for the most part, had fallen sway to the horrible Protestantism of John Calvin. John Calvin and his new religion that he started around the year 1567 actually turned God into a cold, unmerciful, and unforgiving God. And this was the heresy that St. Francis de Sales was faced with as a priest in Switzerland. But after 4 years, 4 years of fervent prayer, strenuous labor, and great suffering, this young priest converted over 72,000 of these Calvinist heretics back to the Catholic faith. In the year 1602, he was consecrated the Bishop of Geneva, Switzerland. And while visiting the various parishes of his diocese, he was one day passing through a small country village, and there word was brought to him that an old farmer who was quite well-to-do was dying and had heard that the Bishop of Geneva was passing by and greatly desired to see him and receive his blessing before he died. St. Francis de Sales readily agreed and hastened to the bedside of this dying man. And when the dying man saw the bishop as he entered his room, he cried out, I thank God for permitting me to receive your blessing before I die. St. Francis de Sales then heard the dying man's confession and gave him the last sacraments of the church. And after the confession and the sacraments, the man asked the holy prelate, Your grace, shall I die? St. Francis de Sales, unwilling to alarm him unnecessarily, answered quietly and reassuringly that he had seen people far more ill than him recover, but that he must now place all his trust in God, who is the master of life and death, and who alone knows the number of our days, which cannot be even more than he has decreed. But then the gentleman asked St. Francis de Sales, "But do you think that I'm going to die?" And St. Francis de Sales again gently responded, "A physician could answer that question better than I can. All I can tell you is that I know your soul to be just now in a very excellent state of preparation for death, and that perhaps were you summoned at any other time, you may not be so as you are now. The best thing you can do," the saint urged this dying man, "is to put aside all desire of living and all care about the things of this world and abandon yourself now to the providence and the mercy of God, and allow him to do with you whatsoever he wills." When the dying man heard these words, he cried out, "Oh, my grace, it is not because I fear to die that I ask you this, but rather because I fear I will not die. For I cannot reconcile myself to the idea of recovering from this sickness." Now, St. Francis de Sales was greatly surprised and a bit taken back by what this man had just said, that he feared he would not die. St. Francis de Sales knew that a longing to die is either a grace given to very holy and detached souls, or, on the contrary, it is a punishment given to sinners as a prelude to despair, or at times a longing to die exists in depressed persons as an outcome of a certain melancholia. He thus asked the man why he had such a longing to quit this world, the love for which is so natural in all men. And this is what the dying man said to him: "Your grace, this world appears to me to be of so small account that I cannot understand why so many people care for nothing beyond what it has to give. If God," he said, "had not commanded us to remain here below until he calls us by death, I would have left the world a long time ago." The saint then asked the man if he were troubled over his bodily sickness or over the great bodily pains that accompanied his sickness, or if he were troubled over difficult family matters, or if he was suffering from grave financial hardship and loss that he could no longer bear it. And then the man replied, "It is none of these things. It is because I have heard sermons so much about the joys of paradise and heaven that over time this world has become more of a prison for me." Then the dying man proceeded to speak about the beatific vision of God in heaven, that is, seeing God face to face as he is, and the love and the complete peace and the perfect joy that is in the souls of the blessed who behold God in this vision. And as he spoke of the joy and the peace of the beatific vision of God, the great St. Francis de Sales began to weep tears of joy. And after this man described heaven and its joys, he then depicted the grandeur, the wealth, the material things of this world, worldly success, the pleasures of this world in their true colors. And by that I mean, he spoke of their intrinsic vileness and how in reality these things are nothing more than vain, passing, and worthless things in comparison to heaven. He could not understand how people work so hard for these things when one day they will all go away, and why they don't work so much the harder to go to heaven. Although St. Francis de Sales was exceedingly edified by the man's holy desires to see God, he nonetheless encouraged him to make acts of resignation to God's will in this regard. Because true holiness, my dear friends, lies in a resignation to God's will in all things. And thus did the man follow the salutary advice of the holy bishop. He resigned himself to whatsoever God willed for him. And a few hours later, having received the last sacraments from this great saint and bishop, the man quietly died in the love of Jesus and Mary. Now today on this Feast of All Saints Day, the Church would remind us of heaven, our true home. In today's epistle, St. John the Apostle, who is the author of the book of the Apocalypse, speaks about the number of the elect in heaven. He opens up this passage telling us that the angels were given orders not to strike the earth, that is, not to destroy it, until first the number of the elect was filled. That is, the number of those who would, through God's grace and their efforts, save their immortal souls. St. John first speaks then of the 12,000 signed and saved from each one of the tribes of Israel. The number 12 is a biblical number. It signifies fullness and completion. The 144,000 is thus 12,000 times 12. And it is a perfect number. This signifies the full number of the saints of the Old Testament and of the converted Jews to Christianity. It is interesting to note that the Jehovah's Witnesses, the sect, the Jehovah's Witnesses, erroneously interpret this 144,000 as the total number of human beings that will be saved and that will see God in heaven. In their heresy and error, they hold only 144,000 people will be saved. Everyone else, they say, is going out of existence. They actually teach there is no hell and that you're either saved or you will no longer exist. This is a dreadful heresy, because this tells people, in fact, the Jehovah's teach, the 144,000 don't even know. No one really knows. And there's nothing you can do to be saved or nothing you can do to be lost. You're just picked. This dreadful heresy thus encourages people to live lives of sin here. Because it doesn't matter what you do. But St. John the Apostle writes in the book of the Apocalypse, after he describes the 144,000, referring to a fullness and completion of those who are saved in the Old Testament and those who are of the Jewish race. He then says these words, "After this I saw a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and in the sight of the Lamb." This great multitude which St. John describes represents the Gentile saints of the New Testament. It is an innumerous, incalculable amount of people, of souls, who will be saved. It is the Gentile race, that is, all those who are not of the Jewish race. And we here, my dear people, in this chapel, are of the Gentile race. And one day, please God, if we persevere in the practice of our Catholic faith, the one true faith, if we strive every day to lead good and pure Catholic lives, and if we are good sons and daughters of the Queen of all Saints, we will be numbered among the multitude which no man can number. We must never forget that heaven is our true home. How many countless people there out there today in our world, even among Catholics who profess the one true faith, fail to remember that heaven is our home. They fail to remember that we were created to know God, to love God, and to serve Him in this world for a short time, and then to be happy with Him forever in heaven. That is the purpose of life. That is why we are here. We are not here to be success in this world. We are not here to amass material things. We are not here to gain worldly pleasures, worldly honors, and be successes in the corporate world. We are here to know God, to love God, and to serve Him now by believing in Him and keeping His holy commandments, and then to be happy with Him forever in heaven. That's why we're here. And how great is this happiness of heaven? It is actually so great, it is beyond human description. No one can actually describe it. Anyone who has seen it cannot even say what they saw. St. Paul the Apostle saw it. He was given a glimpse of the joy of heaven, and he could not describe it. All he could write was this: "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it enter into the heart of man what things God has prepared for them that love Him." Let us then, who have the one true Catholic faith, who believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the only Savior of the world, who Himself has promised us that those who believe in Him and His truths and who truly love Him by keeping His laws and commandments, He has promised He will reward them with the everlasting glory and joy of heaven. My dear friends, may we not be deceived by the empty promises of this faithless and impure world, nor live our lives here as if we were here to stay, as so many ignorant and foolish people do. but rather let us live our lives here longing for heaven, like that dying man in the story. That dying man in the story who was well-to-do, who had many material possessions, who had a comfortable life, but who longed to see God in the beatific vision in heaven forever, and thus none of that meant anything to him. In the midst of a world then, my dear friends, which constantly distracts us from our true purpose in life and pulls us down to itself, may we never forget that heaven is our home and that nothing else really matters. Keep your eyes then fixed on heaven and have confidence that God is aware of the many sufferings, the many trials and hardships that each and every one of you must endure. He knows how much you suffer from this thing or that. He knows those who suffer great bodily pains and sicknesses, those who suffer great financial burdens, those who are weighed down by difficulties in family and friends and work. In the midst of all that, have confidence he will reward you for patiently bearing and suffering these things. He never promised anyone he will reward them here. He will reward you with the joy and the glory of heaven for all eternity. Persevere then, my dear people, in these things, even as you strive to be kind and patient towards others, always ready to forgive those who have hurt you in some way. Persevere in being pure and chaste, avoiding mortal sin, and faithfully praying Our Lady's Rosary. That prayer which can obtain for us untold blessings, pray her rosary every day without fail, and have the confidence that if you persevere in doing these things, you will one day hear the most glorious words that anyone could ever or will ever hear. Come, ye blessed of my Father, and take possession of the kingdom which has been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then, my dear friends, you will be home, and you will be among a great multitude which no man can number. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.